Book of Romans, chapter number 3. We won't stand tonight. We're going to read a good bit of verses, skip around, and share a few thoughts with you. We've got a couple of prayer requests that have been spoken in the prayer room. Please remember Brother Gerald Rollins when you pray. And God knows all about that. And the Lord would touch him. And then tomorrow we have a meeting with Carroll County on some as far as the liquor laws that's coming up to be voted on. So if you'd help us pray about that, God would help us in that meeting tomorrow. Okay, Romans chapter number 3. Glad you saved tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? You know, right now we're seeing some prophecy really being fulfilled in the Middle East with Israel. And it's a sad day in America when we won't jump on in with both feet on the side of Israel. Now, they are, they always have been, they always will be God's chosen people. Before you and I was ever in existence, they were the apple of His eye. By our father Abraham, all of his descendants, there's the Jewish race came about. The Lord Jesus had a special eye upon that group of people. And He made a covenant with Israel. That covenant still stands today. He said this, He said He would bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. And so if America wanted any wind in her sails, all she'd have to do is read the Bible tonight. And you know, I've noticed this about ministry and some things about God. You know, when the disciples were fishing, and it's one of the most wonderful text I've ever preached out of. But you remember that night they came up with nothing. He said, cast on the right side and you shall find. They were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And this is the fault. If people would just understand to quit asking God to bless what they're doing, and if they just get in on what God's blessing. And so many times, folks, at Liberty Baptist Church, you don't understand things. I know you don't get to see everything that Brother Mike and myself get to see as far as in missions, and as the mission family gets to see. But I'm going to tell you, a big puff of wind that's in the sails of this church is helping those that God's got His hand on. And if America would just get a glimpse and quit asking God to bless what she's doing and get it on what God's blessing. What's God blessing? He's blessing people with the Bible. He's blessing helping others. He's blessing prayer. He's blessing giving. He's blessing putting Him first. And if we would just get in on what God's blessing, boy, we would be a lot better off as a nation and as a people and as a church. But tonight we see what advantage then hath the Jew. Now Paul is writing one of the most profound epistles that's in our Bible. He wrote this to the Romans and he's raising a question. In other words, they're saying, we're being Jews, then we have a first seat to heaven. But Paul's fixing to correct them. He says, now what advantage then hath the Jew, or for what profit is there of circumcision? Here, what was going on is in this church, in this local assembly, the Jews was trying to pass the Mosaic law down to the Gentiles, getting them to live under the law. And there's still a lot of people trying to live under the law tonight. But the Bible said much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my line than his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Then he goes on, verse 9, what then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I want to talk about three areas in Romans 3 tonight. First of all, on the works of our sovereign. I'm glad God is sovereign, and I'm glad that He has the works that He has established even before the foundation of the world. I want to look at the works of the sovereign. Secondly, I want to look at the wickedness of the sinner. And then thirdly, I want to close on the way of salvation. Now, this is what we have to do with the Jews. First of all, you'll notice that in Romans 11 and verse number 1, that the Jews are His people. Romans 11. And I want you to look in a scripture there in verse number 1. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Want you not what the Scripture saith, the last, how He maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed Thy prophets and digged down Thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, he says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Now, first of all, Israel is God's chosen people. Now, we see in John chapter number 1 and verse number 11, we've seen their redemption. The Lord offered Israel redemption. We know this in John chapter number 1 and verse number 11. Here the Bible teaches us simply this, that the Lord came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, the Lord came and offered redemption to His people, which was Israel. They simply said, this will not have you as our king. In John 19 and 15, remember as the Lord Jesus was headed to the cross, there He says something. The Bible said it was the preparation of the Passover in John 19:14, about the sixth hour. And He saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, Israel turned their back upon the Messiah. They never believed that the Lord Jesus was their Messiah. I'm going to tell you tonight, not only is He King of Kings here, but He's King of Kings there. And so certainly the works of the sovereign, we've seen His people, it was Israel, and we've seen their offer of redemption, and then we've seen their rejection. But then notice, let's look at their repercussions. And look with me there to Romans 11. Something happened in the heart of God, and it didn't take God by surprise, but in Romans chapter number 11, I'll get you to look at something, and he says in verse number 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest the root fatness of the olive trees, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Israel, thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Now look at verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles," he said, "I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Now here, Paul is writing, and he simply says this, there are some repercussions of not accepting the Lord. God turned to the Gentile people and said, my people won't accept the Lord, then I will offer him to a people that will accept him. And so God turned the glorious gospel to the Gentiles. We ought to be glad tonight that Israel did reject him, because by doing that, God turned to a people and said, I'll turn to a Gentile dog, and even though by the grace of God they'll be grafted into that tree. Now tonight, just because they're Jews don't mean they're going to heaven. They must be born again by the grace of God. Everybody under the sound of the gospel tonight must be born again. Whether they're black, white, red, yellow, whether they're bond or free, they must be born again. And so here, the Jews thought maybe they had a hierarchy of the gospel. Maybe some thought, well, you know what? We're God's chosen people and we're going to heaven anyway. But Paul said, God forbid. You must all be saved. And here, Paul is writing in Romans 3 and he talks about the works of the sovereign. Now, we go back now to Romans 3. And notice what he has to say in verse of Romans 2 and verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned of the law shall be judged by the law. Then he picks up in Romans 3 and he deals now not only with the works of the sovereign, but Paul starts writing about the wickedness of the sinner. Why does a sinner need to be saved? Because they're a sinner. You see, a sinner acts like a sinner simply one reason, because they're a sinner. And so in Romans 3, verse number 10, look what Paul says. He says, we'll get verse 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Perhaps somebody was telling Paul, look, we're the nation of Israel, we're God's chosen people, and we're good people. I want to say this tonight. There's just some people a little better than others, but there's nobody good. There's some that's better than others, and I understand that. And you know, some of the hardest people that you'll ever see saved is better people. People that hadn't lived the life like you and I have lived many times in our life. And so Paul, he's sort of clarifying them, and he's letting them know that we all stand even at Calvary. We're all sinners. And he talks about the wickedness of the sinner. Look in verses 10 through 12, and he talks about the popularity of wickedness. The popularity of wickedness. Well, wickedness is rampant in America tonight. It's amazing how wicked society has got. Now, the popularity of wickedness, in verse number 10, it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Now, we know that we were all born in trespasses and sins. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to enlighten a man about God. You see, man don't seek God. God seeks man. God is a missionary-minded God. And listen, we couldn't get to where he was, but he came to where we was. And I'm glad God has that nature about him tonight. Now, notice this popularity of wickedness. But then, verse 13, look at the pollution of wickedness. He said, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, we certainly know that in our society, things are not getting better, but they are getting worse. And Paul is writing about the popularity of wickedness, but now he's talking about the pollution of wickedness. And then look in verse 16. Now he talks about the products of wickedness. He said, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. They're saying, well, you know what? I can live a good life. I can live by the law. And Paul's saying this, no, you can't. You can't live by the law. We can't live by the law. Those Ten Commandments that, you know, we've so easily forgotten. Let's take a look tonight. I want to show you where to find them in your Bible. Turn to Exodus chapter number 20 and share these with your children and underline them in your Bible. We hear a lot about these Ten Commandments, but we never go there too much. But let's take a look tonight in Exodus 20 and verse number 1. On the product of wickedness. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What is that? That's anything before God. Could be a deer stand. Could be a fishing boat. It could be a Walmart trip every Sunday. Amen. It could be money. It could be property. It could be a job. It could be children. I know a lot of people put their children before the Lord and they've got things all messed up. But I can tell you this, if God takes that child, you're going to say, who's boss? And so he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's in earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. For look, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I'm going to tell you something. God's jealous of his house. God wants right away, not only in our life, but he wants right away at his house. And so God is a jealous God. Always remember that he don't want anybody between he and you or he and I. And then he says in verse 6, he's showing mercy in the thousands of them that love him, keep his commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You ought to watch your tongue. Amen. And then verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now certainly we know that Sunday is the day that we recognize to worship our Lord. And as the disciples was in the upper room, the Sabbath day went out and it became the first day of the week when the disciples met after that Easter morning. And therefore, we ought to recognize a day in our life that we are to honor the Lord and keep it holy. He said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all the work. Did you know in days gone by that people, even in our community, they would even do all their cooking on Saturday, not do a thing on Sunday? Boy, we've really fastly changed our pace of things. But he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you'll labor and do all the work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not do any work. Now verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Well, how long is that? Well, how long are your father and mother? Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Give them right of way. See about them. Honor them. Respect them. And Mom and Daddy, you ought to teach your children to honor you and respect you. That's a God thing. It's not a preacher thing. It's a God thing. And so, honor your father and mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That's the end of the story. The 55 million babies in America has been slaughtered. Well, let me ask you this. Why shouldn't the wrath of God be on America? You go against his laws, then there are repercussions. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 14, still in the Bible. Shacking up, still wrong. And I don't care if it's your children or my children or your grandchildren. Shacking up, still shacking up, and it's still wrong. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Then thou shalt not steal. That's pretty simple. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, you ought not lie. Verse 17, you shall not covet the neighbor's house, covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or maidservant, ox or ass or anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Well, tonight you ought to mark those in your Bible and realize there's nobody can live all of those commandments. The best people we got in this church, somewhere down the road this year, you're going to break one of them commandments. Matter of fact, it probably won't take you a year. It'll probably just take you a ride home is all it'll take you. So there's the wickedness of the sinner, the popularity of sin, the pollution of sin, and then the product of sin, verse 16 through 18. And now, what I want to get to tonight is not only the works of the sovereign and the wickedness of the sinner, but what about the way of salvation? I'd love to try to teach you just a few things in the next 15 minutes on the way of salvation. Now, let's look in Romans 3 and verse number, let's take a look at 19. Now, he says this, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Now, there's the purpose of the law. It declares guilt. Can anybody truthfully in this congregation tonight say that I can live by the Ten Commandments? If you say that, you broke one of them because you're a liar. Amen? And so there's the purpose of the law. The law was never intended to get nobody to heaven. You would be surprised to the people that believe this. People believe you accept the Lord, you're saved. And then if you live good enough after that, you can see if you can go to heaven. That's not Bible. If that's the fact, then nobody would never be saved. And so here the way of salvation, the purpose of the law is to show us that we're guilty. Paul said, you know what? I was one of the best men walking. He said, boy, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I knew the law in and out. But he said, when I seen the law, he said, something went off in me, and I seen, oh, wretched man that I am. I seen how wicked I was when I looked at that law in order to keep it. Now, the purpose of the law, it declares us guilty. And then, notice not only the purpose of the law, but look in verse 21, at the purity of Christ. The purity of Christ. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, the purity of Christ. Notice this. Even the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It is Jesus Christ. And therefore, we see this purity of Christ. Now, verse 23, look at the problem of man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul's just nailing this truth all the way to the house. He's absolutely beating the drum. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that lets me know something. We were all sinners. We were all lost. We all stood on common ground. So there had to be something for us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. There's the problem of man, but now the plan of God. I'm glad God has a plan. Now look, it's in verse 24. Look at the Savior in the plan. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in good works, that is in water baptism, that's in paying tithe. No, that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You remember not many Sunday nights ago I preached a message on in Christ Jesus. Does anybody remember being here that night in Christ Jesus? You better be glad God allowed me and you to be put in Christ Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, that's the only righteousness that you and I will ever know, is being in Christ and Christ in us. Now, this is the plan of God. There's the Savior in the plan, but notice the synonyms in the plan. Verse 24, there's a big word. I'm going to try to describe these and I'll be done. First of all, being justified. That's a legal term, justification. It's a declaration by God that a person has been made forever right and acceptable with God. Justification is not just till you sin again. Justification is not when you believe in God, and what happens if you have a wrong thought on the way home. Does it mean that justification went away? No. If you're in Christ, you're justified. It's a legal term. It's mean that you've been set forth, declared righteous by God through His Son. That's an amazing thing tonight. The thing of justification. It's a declaration by God that a person has been made forever right and acceptable to God. You always remember this. You've heard this many times. Once saved, always saved. That's true, but a lot of people use it so mildly. I believe this, once you get saved, your life changes. When we've been placed in Christ, we have the righteousness of Christ, and when God looks at us, He declares us free. We're justified by the grace of God. Now, justification. Then, notice this. Another synonym that come up in verse 24. It's the word grace. Being justified freely by His grace. It means without cause in the person for God to save them. Brother Gary said it in his prayer tonight. God, we ought to be in hell, every one of us. You don't hear that much no more, do you? People, you know, there's people here tonight. You don't believe in hell. Did you get saved? When I got to believe in hell, I got saved. I'd heard about hell all my life, and I'm glad God convinced me about it one day. And so grace freely means without cause in the person for God to save them. Grace speaks of salvation. God coming to man, not of man's merits. We can't earn it. It's the grace of God. You see, God didn't see any good thing in us. That's why He saved us. He's a God of love, of compassion. He offered unto us His Son. Somebody said, well, how could a God so lovingly as our God is, how could He put me in hell? Hey, He don't put you in hell. You put your own self in hell. When you deny His Son, he has to stand true to His Word. Justification, grace. Then here's another word in verse 24, is redemption. Through the redemption, this means full deliverance of the soul from sin. I'm glad through Christ I've been delivered from sin. Full deliverance, not partial. Full deliverance. Verse 25, here's a big word, propitiation. The Bible said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. It really means mercy seat. It's God being appeased or God being satisfied with His Son. Isn't this amazing? I've never understood this about God. God being God could do anything that He ever wanted to do. God is righteous. He's holy. He could do anything. But God chose to give His Son to get us to heaven. God could have declared anything that He had wanted to be righteous, that we'd accepted it. But God chose the blood of His darling Son to get us to heaven. And that's the only thing that He chose. And anything else will put you in hell tonight. And so there is propitiation. It means mercy seat. It's God being satisfied. Then here's another word in verse 25. Is faith. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Did you know this Bible teaches this, that God hath given every man a measure of faith? Did you know if you die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus tonight, you'll go as an intruder? That you had faith, that God gave you enough faith that you could believe on Him if you would access it from your heart. But you know this tonight, folks? You can't make nobody be saved. People's got to want to be saved. And the old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I'm saying this, you can feed him enough salt to where you want to drink. And that ought to be our lives. We're the salt of this old world. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to be salty Christians. Somebody ought to look at our lives and say, you know what, they got something I ain't got. They've got a piece that I don't have, and I'd love to have that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can have it. But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith. And then watch this, verse 25. Paul's writing, and he's sure that he says this. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. It's still the blood tonight. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Well, I'm going to tell you, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. We live in a day of a social gospel, preacher. A couple things. Don't scare our children. Well, let me ask you this. What about Noah? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 11, he was moved with fear to the saving of his house. Somebody better scare the fire out of him. I've heard it. No, you ought not try to be scaring our children. Somebody needs to scare you. The Bible said that by faith, he moved with fear to the saving of his house. Something better get your attention. Now, then they'll say, don't scare my children. Number two, don't say nothing about hell. Number three, now back off on that blood stuff. But they're all three involved tonight. I'm glad one day fear came by and accessed faith and got saved by the grace of God. It's still the blood of His darling Son. I'd hate to know that I had a Bible that omitted the blood tonight. And many Bibles do. They're not a Bible. They need to be burnt in a trash can. If you don't have a King James Bible, you ain't got no Bible. Don't let nobody take your Bible from you. God put this in here for a reason. You say, well, they're not important. I tell you what you do then. You take a road atlas. You go to Chattanooga. You take out I-20, I-75, or 27 and see if you get to Chattanooga. Same way it is with God and His Bible. He wants you to get to heaven, but there's one way to get there. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, His blood. And then watch this. He uses this in verse 25. The remission of sins. Remission simply means to put on the side. In other words, your sins have been set aside. We cannot be condemned by our sins, for they've been taken care of by Christ. I'm glad. Now, you're talking about Baptists ought to shout. It's not Baptists that ought to shout. Honey, it's saved people ought to be shouting. Baptists ain't got a lot to shout about, but saved people got a lot to shout about. Jesus took our sins on a cross. And when we believed in Him, it's a miracle took place. He put us in the family of God, and He took all of our sins upon Himself. And I'm never no more will I have to stand and be condemned for my sin to be put in hell. Now, I'll be judged for my works, but I'll never be judged for my sin to condemn me and put me in hell again. Because the Lord Jesus has took my sins. And then there's a word forbearance there. The Bible says to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Forbearance speaks of God's long suffering to wanting the sinner to repent. Boy, aren't you glad that that word forbearance is tolerance? Aren't you glad that God tolerated some things till you got saved? Aren't you glad there's a God tonight that still tolerates things since you've been saved? Boy, I sure am glad tonight that the old, old story tells me I can be set free. The works of the sovereign. Boy, He's a sovereign God. He's running everything. Israel's still His chosen people, the apple of His eye. He loves that nation. But they all must accept His Son to go to heaven to be with Him. Number two, the way of the sinner. Boy, sin is running rampant in America tonight. And you know something? Somebody has said, well, how do you build a ministry preaching on sin? How do you have a church without preaching on sin? We're not here to build a fellowship. We're not here to build a community center. Christ is talking about the church. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. The way of salvation, I sure am glad there's still a way to heaven tonight. And that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many men coming up with different formulas. Well, if you do this or do that, it'll work. No, it don't. It's one way to the gate. And that's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate Romans 3 tonight. Boy, the truths that Paul wrote to the church. Glad I got a Bible. I'm glad it'd tell me what's going on. I'm glad I'm not wondering if I'm going to make it. I know I'm in tonight. Thank God for that. Any word before we dismiss this evening? Any announcement? If you'd stand with us, I appreciate you being here this evening.